What a tremendous song. One of my favorites of some of the new songs that have been written here recently. What a beautiful, beautiful song. Great message. Turn your Bibles this morning to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. We'll be reading verse 4. And there are many passages on the Sunday before Thanksgiving that we've used over the years. This is one we have visited many times. This one in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, and we'll talk about that one as well. And it's always good to come back and revisit the subject of being thankful. This is one of those areas in which, in fact, the Bible says one of the signs of the end times. The Bible says in the last days perilous times shall come. And one of the signs of the perilous times, one of the signs of, that Christ is going to return, is that people will be unthankful. And we see that today, don't we? Overall, we live in a world that is so unthankful. And I'm so glad I was born in the United States of America. And though it has its problems, and we often talk about those problems, in fact, some that happened this week, can we just remind ourselves that we live in the greatest country on earth, and we ought to be thankful. Let me just, before we read the verse, just remind you of a couple of things. We know the first Thanksgiving there in the Plymouth colony happened around 1621. And we know the story of Squanto, the Indian, who had been in Europe, had been a slave, and had come back to the Americas, could speak English, and we're thankful for that. Because Squanto could speak English and could talk to and speak English with those pilgrims. He showed them how to plant corn and all the things that happened, and God blessed there. The governor, Bradford, declared the first public thanksgiving to God. Governor Bradford did. And after a harsh first winter, they were thankful. Now, this is it now. I want you to make sure you understand this. After that harsh first winter, the thanksgiving was based upon this. They were thankful to God for the blessings He bestowed upon them. Not Squanto, not the Indian. No, they were thankful to God for His providence and for His blessings upon them. And so we need to be reminded that Thanksgiving is not about some feast. It was about thanking God for the ability to have food and for the saving of their lives. And they were so thankful to God. And I know that's something the public schools do not push. When I was in public school in the big city of Bowie, Texas, 20 so years ago, actually that would have been an elementary school, and when it was really emphasized, and we used to dress up and do all those things, I remember they set the tables down the middle of the hallway of the classes. So right down the middle of the hallway, and they set up, and we had a Thanksgiving dinner and all those things. And I remember us praying at the meal and thanking God for His providence on the pilgrims. And even in my lifetime, we've seen that go the way of the wind. And public schools don't do that anymore. But we need to remind our children, as we do at Christmas, that Christ is the reason for Christmas, and Thanksgiving, we're there to thank God for His providence. George Washington proclaimed Thanksgiving as in 1789. I love this quote from Abraham Lincoln. He proclaimed the last Thursday of November as Thanksgiving Day in 1863. And here's the quote from Lincoln. He said this: "The people should assemble in their churches and acknowledge the grace of God as manifested in the abundant fruits of field and forest." Would be to God we had some politicians now who believe that. We know that in 1941, Congress made Thanksgiving a national holiday, and it's clear that our nation has had a wonderful heritage of Thanksgiving, and we need to be people who are thankful. As I said, just thinking about Acts chapter 17 says that God, it was in His providence that He determined where we would be born. And I'm glad I was born in the United States of America. Psalm 100, verse 4 says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and to His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." Be thankful unto Him, and let's pray. God, we thank You, God, for sending Your Son to die on the cross that we might have eternal life. God, we thank You for enabling us, determining that we would be born in this great country and reap the fruits of Your bountiful blessings upon this great country. Lord, I thank You that I have food on the table and a home to protect me and my family. And Lord, I thank you that you've been so gracious and so kind and blessed my family in such a great way. We thank you for the blessings upon our church and your providence as you have directed and led us and guided us. And God, help us, Lord, to be thankful people. Help us to be the most thankful people. In Jesus' name, amen. Be thankful unto him. Bob Jones Sr. said this. He said, the loveliest flower that blooms in the garden of the heart is the flower of gratitude. And when gratitude dies on the altar of man's heart, he is well nigh gone. When gratitude dies on the altar of man's heart, he is well nigh gone. Gratitude. We need to be a grateful people. Romans chapter 1, the Bible speaks there that they were neither were they thankful, speaking of those who had given themselves over to sin and immorality. Because they were not thankful, God said he gave them up to a reprobate mind. Listen, we need to be a thankful people. It's sin that is committed today, the sin of unthankfulness, that results in so many other sins. We need to be genuinely thankful for what God has done. And be grateful in our hearts for what God has done. When's the last time you thanked him? Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Man, God has been so good to us. We are not thankful by nature. We are selfish by nature. And gratitude is not a part of our nature. And I like Curtis Hudson said this. He said, anything you have to be taught to do is not a part of your nature. And anything you do without being taught is a part of your nature. And, you know, for instance, a duck can swim. It's his nature to swim. It's not a nature for a cat to swim. Though we'd like to see many of them do that. Bloop, 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 bloop. I'm sorry, all you cat lovers. A cat cannot swim. A child does not swim naturally. But a child can be taught to swim. A child can be taught to swim. So it's not within their nature to swim, but they can be taught to swim. We are sinners by nature. We don't have to be taught to sin. We do it naturally. As we've stated from this pulpit over and over again, you do not have to teach your child how to take a toy away from another child. They do it naturally. You have to help reverse their decision by way of the Board of Education to the seat of understanding. Over and over and over again. It is natural to be ungrateful, but an unnatural thing to be grateful. So it's natural to be ungrateful. No child, again, was ever born with gratitude in their heart. You have to teach a child to say thank you. You have to teach them to do that over and over and over again. You know, you don't tell your child one time, all right, now say thank you. You know, you have to do it the next time and the next time. Especially when they're that 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and you just keep at it. And one day they grow up, hopefully, and they say it without being told, right? Y'all good? Y'all awake? Purple's nice. Looks sharp this morning. I'll talk to you after. Get purple socks on too. That's great. Are you kin to Barney, or you all right? Okay. It's not natural for a kid to be grateful. They had to be taught to be grateful. They had to be taught to say thank you. Your child is given something. You have to teach them to say thank you. Can I remind you, parents, teach your children to be thankful. Teach your children to be thankful. When you give them something, they should say thank you in return. If they don't, take it back. Make them be thankful. You have to teach them to do that. But by the way, you teach them to be thankful, but that does not bring within their heart gratitude. That is something that is learned over time. It's learned really by experience and by what God does for us in our own hearts, right? And by way of salvation. But it takes time to do that. You have to say it over and over and over again. I've given you this little story before, and I'm not very good at jokes, but it says a lady gave a little boy a piece of cake, and he said, oh, thank you, ma'am. And she replied and said, I like to hear little boys say thank you. And right away he said, if you'll give me another piece on top of that, I'll say it again. So again, it's not within their nature to be thankful. They have ulterior motives, but that gratitude can be and will be learned over time. We are an ungrateful people, and we're born that way. We're ungrateful by nature, but we ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful. How are we to be thankful? How are we to be thankful? And really, it comes down to this. It's recognizing that everything that we have is given to us. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. When we understand and we recognize that all that we possess was given to us, that it is not within our own efforts and our own things that brought those things to pass, but God gave us those abilities. You say, well, I worked for it. Well, God gave you the ability to work. I mean, God gave you the ability to get out of bed this morning. Amen? Everything we have comes from God. Everything we have comes from God. And recognizing that we are simply stewards of what God has given us. And we're to be good stewards of that, by the way. But understand that everything we have comes from God. Me and my wife, it's been a while since I told the story. When we first got married, there was a friend in high school, one of my teachers, who allowed us to live in one of his rental homes for free. We actually went by a few weeks ago. I wish I'd have brought, we had pictures, but we could have shown them. It's no longer even a house. It's like a storage building for an electric company now. It's a little bit overgrown. But it was, the house had been run down, and I remember before we got married, me and the owner of the house went in, and the bathroom floor was completely rotted away. Completely. It's, you know, about the old home, about 800 square feet, but the rest, and we went in there and put some 3/4-inch plywood down, got it all of it fixed, no linoleum, didn't put nothing back over the top of it, just got it where you could step on it without falling through. There was a crack, some of y'all have heard this story, but I've got a lot of new people. Around the bathtub, there was an opening, a gap that big, all the way around the bathtub, that actually you could stick your hand down, and that was under the house. I mean, you know, it just went right under the house. It was some kind of home. When you took a shower, or by the way, there was no shower head. You had to take a bath. When you took a bath, the cold air from under the house just kind of into the bathtub. Again, no linoleum, just a piece of plywood on the floor and for the sink. There were no doors in that house except the outside doors. So no bedrooms, no restroom doors, everything. There was no doors in there. We went in, we painted it, for what good that did. And you could see the outside through most of the window seals. You just see right outside, especially around the doors. The front door, you could literally see right outside. I mean, just stick your hand through the crack that was there. We put newspaper in it, you know, and it was some kind of home. Some kind of home. I remember some of y'all remember where there was a wasp nest. Not those little wasp nests. I'm talking about the real kind that they build those mud, you know, those big nests, and they built inside the wall of that house. And you get up in the morning, and there'd be like 50 wasps in the window. You know what kills wasps really good? Windex. Take Windex and kill them. One time, one got in my coat jacket and stung me on the back and swelled up like a softball size. Anyway, interesting home. Wake up in the winter. At the winter, you wake up, have just those old Dearborn gas heaters. You wake up in the winter, and the breath of your breath would be, you know, you could see your breath inside the house. And, but you know, some of me and my wife's fondest memories is looking back on that house. And though you could see outside on the inside, and though there were many things wrong with the house, at the time I couldn't afford it. I was thankful that I was able to have a roof over my head and go to college and have a wife. Amen. Didn't have any kids then, thankfully. I'm thankful. And as I look back on it now, it makes me so thankful for what I have now. We have a tendency, again, to be ungrateful the things that we have. It's good to look back upon our experiences and how God has blessed us from then until now. God wants us to feel gratitude, and we should not take His blessings for granted. Listen, it's a wicked person who sees him or herself as self-made. Every gift comes from above. Everything I have comes from above. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, from our Father. You think about those who are starving around the world in South America and other countries. You think about those in South America who are trying to get here. We live in the land of blessing and plenty. And we need never take for granted how great we have it in America. We better be careful, guys. and remembering that God has blessed us richly. God has blessed us abundantly. Psalm 103 verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Don't forget His benefits. Don't forget how good He's been to you. Don't forget how good He's been to us. A person can never genuinely be grateful unless he understands that it all comes from above. Listen, my salvation is from the Lord, the Bible says. I've been saved and born again, and Christ lives inside of me. The Holy Spirit abides in me. By the way, He's the owner. I'm yielded to Him because He's the owner. I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why does the Lord have that right? Why does everything come from above? What am I saying? I'm saying He created all things, therefore He owns all things. Amen. Listen, most of the atheist doesn't want to believe God because he doesn't want to be accountable to God. God created all things, and by right, He owns all things. He owns all things. I am commanded. By the way, He created all things, and by Him all things consist. Colossians says, consist. That means He's the super glue that holds it together. Acts chapter 17 says, in Him we live and move and have our being. He holds it all together. We breathe because of Him. Say, preacher, that's ridiculous. You're saying that I woke up this morning, or I woke up this morning breathing because of God? Yes, absolutely. Without a doubt. We need to be grateful. We need to be grateful. Jesus Christ came and lived a perfect life and died on the cross, and He bought us by His own blood. He redeemed us by His own blood. Listen, I've been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Bought with a price. And therefore, I should glorify God in my body. I am not my own. Thanksgiving. It's important for us to recognize that everything comes from God. To be thankful, we must recognize that everything comes from God. We are not self-made. This country is not unique in that we have more resources than other countries. There's other countries with just as much resources as we have. South America has lots of resources. They got lots of dirt down there. What's the difference? It's the Lord. What's the difference between our country and most other countries? It's the Lord. It's what our country was founded upon. The Judeo-Christian ethics upon the Bible. And we are a Christian nation. Because we're a Christian nation, God has blessed it immensely. And we need to be careful not to take that for granted. Just to be honest, I think you take it for granted when you don't vote. You say, preacher, you went too far. Sometimes you got to put it where the rubber meets the road, right? We ought to be grateful people. Grateful people. Thankful for what God has done. Remembering that I own nothing. I'm simply a steward of what God has given me, and I ought to be thankful for what God has done for me. For what should we be thankful? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20 says we should be thankful in all things. All things. We should be thankful in all things. You say, what does that mean? That means we should be thankful for the good times. I love that song this morning. Through it all, God's been good. Be thankful in all things, the good and the bad. The good and the bad. Listen, we ought to be thankful to God. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And whether good things happen in my life or whether it's things are not going so well, I should be thankful. Listen, I slept in a nice bed last night. My wife, we had the same mattress for about the last 12 years. And I admit, it got a little bit lumpy. But it was a good one back then, 12 years ago. It was a Sealy, it was a nice one with a little pillow top on it. And we turned it a couple of times. Take the sheet off of it, My side's all ripped up. Her side of the bed looks like it was never used. So how does that happen? What's the deal with guys? We're just gross. But I was fine with that. We just swapped it around and put my side on her side. It worked out great. She said, when are we going to get a new mattress? I said, another 10 years. We'll make this and go another 10. No, we finally gave up. Went down and bought a nice mattress, which I don't like and she loves. But I'm here to please her, so... Bed's too soft. It's like sleeping on a puffy cloud. I like sleeping on a board. thankful for a nice bed to sleep in.
Amen.
I could afford to go buy a new mattress.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
And honestly, God's been so good to me, it wasn't even a great effort.
Amen.
I mean, I put it on like that no interest thing for 7 years. It's awesome. I know Dave Ramsey. I know what he teaches. And I agree with Dave Ramsey 99% of the time. I slept in a wonderful bed last night. I had a wonderful room. I had running water. Before I went to bed last night, I took a hot shower, which I'm not a huge fan of. Normally, I don't take hot showers. Usually, it's kind of that lukewarm stuff. Hot shower. I got in a nice pickup this morning and drove to church. A Chevy, by the way.
Amen.
That's only nice ones. Only nice ones they make. I got in a nice truck this morning. After the service this morning, I'm going to have a nice meal.
Amen.
In fact, I can have as much as I want. I'm still buttoning my jacket. I mean, most of us will sit down to a Thanksgiving meal that could feed 100 people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now, at our house, we're going to feed about 100, but my brother has 11 children. But I'm just amazed. Amazed, amazed. Sometimes we take that for granted. I take it for granted. I take it for granted that I can go to the thermostat and I can turn my house just about wherever I want it. Now, I don't do that. I want to be a good steward of what God has given me, but I could. Isn't that good?
Yes.
Mm.
Amen.
It's amazing. Amazing how God has blessed us. I remember my first time to go to Mexico. We flew into Monterrey. And when we left Monterrey, Brother Ashcraft, the missionary, was driving us down that major road right beside the river. And the riverbed, most of it was dry. And there were thousands upon thousands of people living in cardboard boxes. I'm not talking about one or two. I'm talking about thousands. 10,000 people more living in cardboard houses. I need to be thankful for what God has given me. I need to be thankful, remembering that all things come from God, and be thankful for the good and the bad. Listen, there's been time in my life when things haven't gone so well, and there hasn't been resources or money in the bank, but I'm thankful I've never gone without eating. I've never gone without clothes. It's easy to thank God when there's money in the bank and you're healthy, wealthy, and wise, right? But we should be thankful to God in all things, the good and the bad. So how can I be thankful to God for the bad times? Remembering that it's the bad times, those trials and tests, that grow us. You know, without the storms and the water, the plants wouldn't grow. The storms of life help to grow us. All things work together for good, right? For them that love God. How do I abound in this Thanksgiving? How am I to be a thankful person? By the way, I like to hang around people who are thankful. I don't like to hang around complainers. I've told you this before. I just can't hang. It bothers me to hang around negative people. I don't like to do it. Hey, you ask a person how they're doing today, and they say, "Oh, terrible." You know, I don't want to hang around that. Sometimes, you know, preachers will do that response. How are you doing today? Well, better than I deserve. Listen, we don't deserve anything. God's been so good to us. A preacher once asked a man, "How are you getting along?" His reply was, "Pretty good under the circumstances." And the preacher said, "What are you doing under there?" It's not under the circumstances. We're to be on them, on top of them. How? By being thankful. By being thankful. No matter how bad things may be going, we can be thankful. So it's kind of like saying, "Well, you know, I'm. How are you doing today? Pretty good. Not in jail, you know." Woohoo! Thankful. How are we to be thankful? Well, we're to think. Thanksgiving, and I say this every year, Thanksgiving is thankfulness. It's thinking. And it's thinking about what God has done for you. It's thinking about what God has done for me. The more you think, the more thankful you'll be. People who are not thankful don't think too much. Think about it this morning. Think about your family, how God has been so good to give you a wife and kids. I'm so thankful for my kids, for my wife. I'm thankful for my family, for my dad. Thankful for the opportunity to go out Friday night and watch my son play football and win state and be the MVP of the state game. Just thought I would put that in since I'm the preacher and he's my son. And he's the middle child, so he says I always don't say anything about him. He's got middle child syndrome. That's not real. Actually, it is because I'm a middle child and I suffered the same thing. My parents treated me badly. Oh, this should be like, oh, thank you. I was sore misused. Thankful for my family. Thankful for my family. I'm fixing to, on Wednesday morning, get up early and drive to Duncan, Oklahoma, and spend time with my mom and my dad, and spend time with my brother and his 11 children and his wife. And thankful. We should be thankful for our families. Thankful for my wife who serves alongside me here at the church, and I don't brag on her near enough, but we would not be where we're at today, humanly speaking, as my family or the church family, but for my wife. And behind every decent leader is a better wife. And I appreciate and love my wife and all that she does. I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful that I'm able to get up out of bed and walk and go about the business. Some can't. In fact, there's some in here who have bad health. I'm thankful for friends. I'm thankful I have preacher friends and other friends I can call and talk to. I'm thankful I have people I could call at 2 o'clock in the morning if I was broke down somewhere who'd come and get me. I know that. I'm thankful for friends. Most often, I'm thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful my sins have been forgiven. I'm thankful that when I die, I'll have a home in heaven. I hope this morning you know that you know it. That you know that you know that you know if you were to die today, you'd have a home in heaven. The greatest decision you ever make is to accept Christ as your Savior. I'm so thankful that I'm saved. I'm glad I have the joy of the Lord. So thankful. So thankful for my church family. And what a blessing you guys are. What a blessing it is to fellowship with you and cut up with you, and y'all put up with my silliness and all the things that go on. I'm so thankful for our church family. What a blessing it is to serve here. What a blessing it is to have a church family. So thankful. Lord, make me more thankful. I want to be more thankful. Thankful. Psalm 104. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful. Be thankful unto who? Him. Bless his name. I've used this illustration before. I'll use it again. There was a man who decided to sell his house. So he put his house up for sale. He called the realtor to put his house up for sale. And he began to go through the list. He described his home and, you know, a nice ranch-style home with nice cedar posts. And he went through and talked about the vinyl windows and the intricate cabinets and the staircases and the nice bathrooms and 4 or 5 bathrooms in the home. And on and on, nice a few acres and just a beautiful, but he wanted to move. They were ready to move. But anyway, as he described his house to the realtor wrote everything down and she said, okay, well, let me read this back to you. And she read back to him what he had said to her about the house he wanted to sell. And as she read it back, he decided not to move. He said, that's actually the house I'm looking for. What am I doing selling this one? That's the one I, you know, sometimes we are in it. We get used to things. We do. We get used to the everyday life and think this is how it's going to continue. Listen, we need to be thankful. Boy, we need to be thankful. No man knows what tomorrow may bring forth. You don't know. I mentioned about my home, and and the new mattress and all. Listen, I don't know if that's going to still be there tomorrow. I don't have that guarantee. We ought to be thankful. Thankful for what God has given. When's the last time you just came down to an altar and just thanked God for what He's done for you? Thank God, poured your heart out to Him and thanked Him for your family and your kids and your grandkids and your wife and thanked Him for your health and thanked Him, just thanked Him for your family, your church family and your job and your home and your soft mattress. When's the last time you just thanked Him? We need to be a thankful people. Enter into His courts with thanksgiving. Enter His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him. To be thankful. To be thankful, we need to be thankful. Think about it and what God has done. Remembering who gave you all these things. Be thankful in all things. Let's all stand. We have a verse of invitation. We ought to be a thankful people. Thanksgiving's coming this week. Let's remind our children why we have Thanksgiving. Remind your grandchildren why you have Thanksgiving. Let's be reminded of how good God has been to us. Be a thankful people. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, can I just remind you this morning that God sent His only begotten Son into the world and He lived a perfect life for 33 and a half years. And though He had no sins of His own, though He had done nothing wrong, He laid Himself down there on that cross and those Roman soldiers nailed Him to a cross. And there He shed His blood for you. He shed His blood for me, that my sins might be forgiven. That my sins might be forgiven. Amen. And that I might have a home in heaven. That I might escape hell and have a home in heaven. And by the way, they put Him in a grave, and 3 days later, He arose from the dead. Amen. And He is alive forevermore. Amen. What a great God we serve. And the greatest decision you'll ever make is to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Amen. What a blessing it is to be a part of the family of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You again, God, for all that You've done for us. Lord, help us to be a grateful people. Lord, help us to remember all the great things You've done for us. Well, thank You for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 544, hymn 544, Almost Persuaded. You come to the altar. The Lord's touched your heart as we sing.